This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of the five. The five? 260-6368 is our telephone number. We'd love to talk with you about eating, about restaurants, about cooking, about wine, about everything that's delicious that makes you smile, makes your friends feel good about being around you, and, you know, all the things that enter your life and make them much more enjoyable. And we invite you to join us here at 105.3 FM. It's easy enough. I'll tell you what, this is something I never mention often enough, but if you have a special H2 program in your computer and or your
HD
car, really
radio
HD what
HD, HD radio HD 2
HD
radio. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, what you do with this is you have it installed in your car, and you have this much enhanced degree of programs and
just buy a new car, folks.
Well, that would do it too, but this would be a lot less expensive, and you'd really enjoy it because there is so much stuff in that part of the world that you'll wonder how was it that I never saw.
You won't want to miss a moment.
You won't. You really won't.
I know. Please chat with us. Please give us a call.
Stop moving. Cutting out.
Do anything special over the weekend? Any great meals that you had?
You know.
Yes.
Has a great time at Emerald's second place. Emerald's first place.
No, we did that. Thursday night, okay. And we will absolutely determined to go have more of that pizza. And I'm embarrassed. I feel like I could easily learn that things were a greasy, delicious mess, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, good.
So today we split a seafood. We can't get him to stop. That's just the way it's going to be. Moves. So we have to distract him by giving him a conversation. So let's give Tom a conversation. We can talk about something, and then he might be distracted from moving.
Oh, that is a problem because we have the same problem at our house.
And then but it was very nice to be outside. It's such a gorgeous spate of beautiful weather. So if you did something really exciting like that over the weekend, then give us a call. We had Middendorf's next weekend.
Middendorf. in locations.
Slidell, yes.
Slidell, and then the one that you have been going to for a long, long time out there in
in Slidell. We're probably not going to go to the one that's in
Yeah, well, why
in
would
Plus.
You want to?
If anyway.
If you love catfish, boy, do they have it.
Yes. Platters than I've eaten in a long time. I don't know what to say right now. So because there's something wrong, or else we need to just start going in and doing the show from in the studio.
Well, anyway, at the moment I think we're okay. What do you think, Doug?
No, he says we keep cutting out.
Are we still? Oh, okay. I believe that because that's what it used to do all the time. A long time ago.
I'm not sure what that means.
Just
but a show, Doug, about that. On a show, especially what is a
you stop to get a beer or a Coke or a cigarette or whatever it is that you take pleasure in. Off to one side of the road in a little town that maybe is there and maybe is not.
They've been around since medieval times. And for some reason, I think of a roadhouse as something in Texas, like hence the name Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
I think that in medieval times, maybe in England, they would be called a coach inn.
Yeah, they would be.
And we outside of London, and they have a... They have a very
Did you hear that?
I'm doing it.
Okay.
Get up to
do okay.
it, though.
Yeah, just making sure you heard it.
Okay.
Does that help?
All right, let's see if that works. Oh, good.
Okay, good. Good. I knew it
All
would
right,
be
good.
Something simple.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you for that, Doug. It's the food show. Where
so
were we?
A coach inn
Roadhouse.
Is an interesting kind of building. It's got like a building. And then you drive in under an overhang, which is part of the building. And this is usually, in England, a Tudor-style thing. So I think they're super cool. And they have been around for hundreds of years. But when I think of a roadhouse in this country, I think of something in Texas. But according to you, I will read right out of the almanac, a roadhouse... originally is a combination restaurant, bar, and small hotel located on a highway.
I think that nails it, really. I mean,
well away from a large town. They serve the same function that inns have since medieval times, long before the restaurant as we know it came to be. Roadhouses are found all over America, but the best example from the heyday of such establishments is found on the original U.S. highway routes, most famously Route 66. The advent of motels and fast food restaurants drew away customers from both sides of the classic roadhouse businesses. Few have rooms anymore. Real roadhouses, as opposed to chains claiming the name, for atmosphere purposes, are usually old and a bit raffish, with home-style inexpensive food and a dubious clientele in the bar. But that's what makes them worthy of interest. I don't know, Tom.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of interest in that.
Well, I do. And and funny, it's the same things that you were bringing up there pretty much. And it involves, as yours did, Texas.
Yes.
And back when I was in my 20s and would take these trips all over the country, I remember finding myself in a place called Valentine in Texas. It was in the Big Bend country in the farthest west of Texas.
Remote locations of Texas.
Yeah, it certainly
Valentine,
was.
Valentine, where's that?
If you're on Highway 90, US 90, yeah. Heading west, and coming out of, ultimately, it would have been San Antonio, way before that, But once you're
between El Paso and San Antonio,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
And but quite a distance, and to watch and to listen to this while you're out there, and I spent the night there a couple of times, and they had a few more. One of which was a star, star-stirred place as it is. So it's a.
Tom has a taste for places like that. I do not.
You don't?
So,
well, okay.
So when we started hanging out, he that was the end of his tenure at places like that. Although
well,
the Gage
already,
Hotel.
I've already died. What?
The Gage Hotel is, I don't know if that would qualify as a roadhouse.
Fire away.
The Gage Hotel.
That's the one I was thinking of. The very place.
The Cowboy Hotel.
That's
now,
right.
Now, what's happened to the Gage Hotel, and I would really like to go see it, and my niece and her husband, who I would love to get, they're back in Virginia, in case anyone wants to know. They have ended their RV sojourn, at least for now, and I'm curious to see if they have ended it permanently. I think that remains to be seen. Both of them work out of their home, so they can come and go as they choose. But I think it's going to be, if I'm guessing correctly, I think she's done and he's not. Naturally, they're a married couple, which means they're not going to agree on that. But, I would like to know.
What two married people ever threw everything
I would like to know
together.
If they head back out at some point. But they went to the Gage Hotel at our suggestion.
Yep, and did they love it?
Well, it was closed. They wanted to go eat in the
bad.
Restaurant because the restaurant was kind of gourmet.
Yes.
Yes. But then since the time we first saw that place, and I would not classify the Gage Hotel as a roadhouse.
No.
It was way too classy for a roadhouse.
They
the Gage Hotel was
pool.
A cowboy hotel, and then it became like a resort. They had villas. And it's I would love to see it now. It's probably been almost 30 years since we've been there.
At least that. The last time I was there was when
Mary Lee was 4. So 23 years ago, we were at the Gage Hotel.
Halley's Comet.
Yeah.
When Halley's Comet was in the sky, that's when I was there. That's why I was there. All that stuff in the cowboy hotels and everything,
uh-huh.
It was very, very cool. I mean, I hated to leave. You know, they had one recipe
that I...
don't
know if they'd let us back in there now.
Oh, I think they would. There's
flooded the upstairs bathroom.
There's a dish that I had over at the Bage. I mean...
At the Gage? Yeah, what was
rather.
It?
And here's what they were doing. They were taking onions to make...
Onions and jalapeno strings.
And jalapeno.
That's the first time I'd ever seen that. That's been a long time ago.
And they fried them together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that was a wonderful idea. It was just everything about it was perfect. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, haven't been back since.
I know. One of those things that I did on the grill after I finished all the other things that I grilled yesterday, because I was a grilling fool. And one of the things that I did was I did mushrooms, like whole mushrooms, smoked mushrooms. And I took all of the jalapenos and poblanos and shishitos that were in the house, and I roasted them. So I don't know what we're going to do with them, but they're roasted peppers.
Don't think of something.
So we do have to find something to do with that. Last night, Mary Lee made harissa.
Harissa. This is
harissa.
This is a North African spread of some kind.
It's a spice blend. I thought it was a dried spice blend, but I didn't realize that it was actually wet. So she made it in a blender and use tomato paste, which is probably the first time, and I can't think of how long that tomato paste was ever used in this kitchen.
What a great idea.
Because you hate tomato paste, don't you?
I do.
Well, it was in the harissa recipe that she made. And she said, you know, she took a little bite of it and she said, oh, this isn't really all that spicy. And then all of a sudden she got very silent and... she couldn't really talk, and she said, Well, okay, it does get you on the back end. So I want to try some harissa mayo, though. I want to make some harissa mayo because, to me, some of the best French fries in town, not as good as Bar Francis, but I think that Chaya has very good fresh-cut fries, and they're served with harissa mayo.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, so we need some harissa
Arrange
mayo.
Arrange that for later tonight, would you?
Sure. Thanks. Okay, 260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat with us. We are here for you for another 40 minutes, so give us a call. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello, welcome back. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We can be as foodie as you can possibly want us to be, and we also have a little addition for you, liked by some of our listeners, not so well by others. It's
Valencia.
It's Valencia, which is one of my two cats. And they are right down here, right beneath where I'm telling you things. So if you like cats, take a look at this cat. And if you don't, then figure it out. 260-6368.
And you're just like your wife.
I am.
If you don't like cats, yes.
Tom,
the old kitchen sage says.
Yeah.
Next time you make a dish that calls for lemon juice, think about using orange juice instead. Use three times as much as the recipe calls for in lemon juice. Now, why in the world would you do that? Because orange juice is sweet and lemon juice is tart.
Well, you're telling the truth, and that's certainly true. But I actually, I've had very good luck with that. And the lemony thing, you're always rolling the dice on lemons anyway because the acidity is so high that it can change all kinds of things. I agree with you about the orange
juice.
There's
no such thing as too much lemon for me.
And okay, well, you help yourself to mine. I've got this big plate of it over here. And the other one we were talking about was what? I forgot.
Also, in your almanac today, we have a baseball hero named Mel Ott
from
New Orleans.
Yes, we have a couple of stadiums here.
Born in 1909, same year as your dad, right?
Wow. You are watching things, aren't you?
Yeah. So he would. So you said that the best way to celebrate him would be hot dogs.
Yeah, that makes sense completely.
And so I was going to throw out the concept of talking about hot dogs because
is there anyone here who likes hot dogs?
No, you know, sometimes there's just nothing as great as a good hot dog.
I agree.
And that doesn't strike me all that often, but sometimes it's just really great to have a good hot dog. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I wound up not finding a good hot dog and not really looking all that hard for it, because if you want a hot dog, you can go to Dat Dog. Does anyone go to Dat Dog anymore?
I don't know. I've kind of lost track of
it.
It
was
they
really
do.
All the rage for a while.
It
and
sure
then,
was.
And then it got some competition that I understand is better than Dat Dog. So has anyone been to Bratz Y'all or Diva Dog? Those are the two that I think are the competition for Dat Dog. And I believe there's a new one in town that's a hot dog place. So you've always said that New Orleans isn't much of a hot dog town.
Yeah, that's usually been true, but that they were changing
that. Dat Dog did pretty well. So
they really did.
And I think they still do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for them to grow as much as they have. But I think that Dat Dog at one time had an idea, and it was a really clever idea. Dat Dog is kind of a cool name. But I wonder how well it would play in someplace else. I mean, Dat Dog in New Orleans makes a lot of sense because we dat the dats, you know? But I don't know. I think that maybe other people wouldn't understand Dat Dogs. And also, I think that everybody has kind of their own little local hot dog thing going. And really, in any given place, do you need more than one hot dog thing going? I'm just curious about that.
Well, you know, hot dogs need them when, or When you can't find them, you need them. Or, wait, I've mixed that up completely.
Does anybody have any thoughts about hot dogs? Because
you probably have a few.
Hot dogs are good.
Mm-hmm.
Hot dogs with chili.
Any listeners to chili
If I eat a hot dog, it's going to be usually with chili and with cheese. And I love the idea of sauerkraut, but not so much on a hot dog. But I do like relish on a hot dog, and not sweet relish, but a pickle relish with some tartness and maybe pickled vegetables. Anyway, I was just thinking about hot dogs because you had that in your almanac for today.
I appreciate that.
And you never have any ideas about hot dogs because you don't really like them, right?
Well, I like them okay, but the problem is that you can't get them too many places. One that has it all the time is Bud's Broiler. They've always had hot dogs there, and it's a pretty good product, too.
Is it really? Because it seems like it would be, that would fall into the category of wieners.
Could be, but I don't think it would kill you or anything.
Well, I don't think it's a particularly high-quality product. Like, a hot dog now is a gourmet hot dog.
Let's hope
so. It used to be where you could just go and get hot dogs, or as some people used to say, wieners. And now the hot dogs are a much more upscale product, I think.
Well, I'm going to look into this further. In fact, I did so just a couple of days ago because I found my own cat wandering in the woods. In the woods.
Tom, sometimes we need to prod you along
Valencia,
to the topic we're talking about. You're still back in Valencia, huh?
Valencia, and I'm almost done. And the whole thing falls apart if you don't have satsumas. But there's more to it than just meets
the eye. Tom has twin cats. They're equally annoying in different ways. One of them is disgustingly annoying, and the other one is just infuriatingly annoying.
Well, what moved me on this is that I was taking a walk of about a mile and a half, Valencia came with me all the way, and I've never seen him go that far. But then again, not everybody wants to see who other people's cats.
He's a bit of a whack job, that cat.
Well, you know, so many of us
darts around.
Lots of them that, do say things that don't do quite.
Yes.
It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you.
We're making no sense at all today, so help us out, folks. Mm. If you would like to chat with us, please. As you can see, we need your help here today. 260-6368. Tom, back to the fact that today is Theodore Geisel's birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Green eggs and ham.
Oh, yeah.
Is one of his biggies. And I thought you might have some words to say about your breakfast, because it's not green eggs, but it's eggs and ham.
Eggs and ham. And let's see, I like having...
I've been fixing a gigantic breakfast for Tom every day. Otherwise, Tom, if left to his own devices, will eat just a slice of toast with sugar on it all day long.
Well, gosh, I'm so flattered that you would care enough to do that.
So I've been making him these omelets for a while. And currently, they are two eggs. You know what I did today, Tom?
No, tell me.
I had, when I took the mushrooms off the grill over the weekend, I put them in a bowl with I put some butter, like a little pat of butter, in the bowl before I took the hot mushrooms off the grill.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when mushrooms, I never noticed this before, but when you cook them on a grill and you touch them in any way at all, you automatically puncture them and the water in the mushrooms squirts out. I mean, it's like it's very full of water. And you don't really notice those when you're just slicing them raw. But I guess the skin, when they were smoking in the grill, the skin tightened up, sealing in all of the water in the mushrooms so that if you puncture them, it leaks out. So anyway, what happened is the mushrooms went into the bowl with the butter.
Yeah.
And it stayed in the bowl, so it was like a mushroom butter. And then when I took the peppers and the mushrooms out, the butter stayed in the bowl.
Yeah.
And so I just kept it overnight, and the butter I scooped into the pan today to give some extra flavor to the eggs. I like eggs and mushrooms a lot.
I do too.
Mushrooms and eggs is a really good taste and texture thing.
You know who does that? And really well is that place over there. Oh, now I'm going to forget the name of it. It's on.
I just discovered that by accident doing those omelets for you. But mushrooms and eggs are really good together.
They really are.
Yeah.
They really are. And I have a great example of this, but I have to remember
it.
So
anyway, so I took the mushroom slash
and then poblano
some butter. And I put it in the pan and then scrambled you some eggs and put your cheese in there and the ham that just kind of is always around as almost like you can – if you took ham and you cooked it long enough, it becomes like a crispy prosciutto.
Yeah. It's not one of my favorite
things. It becomes
things.
Like a bacon, only not as salty and nitratey.
I guess so.
But it's good. It's got the same kind of – well, it's not – I don't know. It's not as crumbly as bacon. Doesn't everybody love bacon? And it's
Oh,
its,
sure. But
in its own sense.
Yeah, I think that's
a
good point.
Who doesn't love bacon?
Yeah.
I bought some cheap bacon at Walmart the other day because even though I wasn't looking for bacon, I wasn't planning to buy bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? So I saw it and it was like some super cheap price. It used to be where you could get – Oscar Mayer bacon, 2 for $6. I know that's hilarious now. 2 for $7 is still hilarious now. But it was called Gwalney, maybe. And it
Gwalney.
Was.
Gwalney.
Yeah. But I thought, you know, that's super cheap bacon. And then I saw since 1878, and I thought, you know, it always gets me. The institutions always get me. So I thought, if it's been around since 1878, they got to be doing something right. So I bought the cheap bacon.
Well, thanks for standing up for me and making sure that I get only the best.
I don't. We'll be back. 260-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
It's our pleasure to be here talking to you, or not to you as much as with you, about cooking, about dining out, dining in. You know, we have not been talking too much about the restaurants lately, but... That's just a coincidence. If you'd like to talk, what? What'd you say? John Volpe is here?
Well, he's not here. He's on the phone. Hello, John.
Oh, he's on the phone.
Hey there. Okay. How y'all doing?
All right. How about
how
you?
How y'all doing?
We're doing fine.
Did you survive Mardi Gras?
Oh, don't get Tom started on Mardi Gras again.
I know it. Well, I got a recipe report for you.
I was stuck dragging Tom around the whole Mardi Gras, and he's traumatized. It's going to take him probably till next Mardi Gras to get over it.
You have a what over there?
I got a restaurant report for you.
Oh, good. Tell me.
Yeah. Now we'll preface it by saying it is a chain, but it was good what I had. That's right. That's right. They got three locations in New Orleans, in the New Orleans area, and one's on the North Shore. Actually, two's on the North Shore. They got one in Slidell, one in Covington, and one near me, and that's Saltgrass.
And I know Saltgrass, you like Saltgrass.
Yeah, tell me the story about that. I haven't gone in there yet. No reason I am or not. But this is place on Causeway.
It's on Veterans. It's on
Veterans
between Transcontinental and
Transcontinental.
Yeah, Veterans between Transcontinental and Clearview.
Now, John, you've called us before about Saltgrass. So what is it that you find appealing about Saltgrass?
Well, the ribs. They have very good ribs. Matter of fact, I got like a I didn't know if I'd called you or not, so if I did, again, I apologize. But
no,
I got the
fine.
Ribs. They had like a quarter rack of ribs and a chicken breast, and you got a super salad, And this was a special that I think is going on through the 5th of this month for like $15. And I said, okay, that'll be a good way to try it. And the ribs were absolutely delicious. The chicken breast was good. I will tell you, though, once we got in there and I ate the ribs and saw that they were for $1 more, and it's a dine-in only special, for $1 more, you could have got a half a rack of ribs. And the ribs were so good, the next time I go, I might be tempted to either get a half a rack or a full rack of ribs. But Saltgrass is owned by Landry's, who also owns, obviously, Landry's Seafood and Morton Steak Company. And he also owns some of the Golden Nuggets. He's got, in Bubba Gump, he's got a bunch of things.
Is that Tillman Fertitta still?
Yes, it is.
You know what?
Yeah.
You just talked me out of Saltgrass. I was going to go until you said it's owned by Landry's. I just can't bring myself to do a Landry's. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I knew you liked ribs, and these are fall off the bone baby back ribs. Now I will tell you one other thing that my wife noticed. I don't know if they do different types of steak or different grades of steaks on the specials versus the others. You'd rather than you offer off the order off the menu, and the menu prices weren't unreasonable, the regular menu prices. But my wife noticed that there were several people, a few people, that were sending their steaks back. I don't know if they were displeased with them or whatever. And there was one veteran while we were waiting to get a table, and he was talking to the manager who handled it. Well, he said, no, we have a different grade of meat for the special versus if you order off the menu, you know, the regular menu.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, I don't think that was clearly delineated to anybody, but, you know, they fixed it. He told the guy, he said, hey, here's what we're going to do for you. And I think all the problems were resolved, but I just thought, gee, that's a funny way of doing stuff, plus the fact that, you know, they brag about it's all certified Angus beef, and then, you know, you find out there may be two different types of beef. So I don't know. I don't know. But my ribs were good enough, I'd go back in a heartbeat. So,
well, I'll tell you what. Tillman Fertitta proves something that that someone told Tom, and I'm trying to think, because in the Almanac a few months ago, this was someone famous who originally said this, and it goes all the way back to, I don't know, maybe before, might even go back to like the Middle Ages, like one of those prophets or something. But someone told Tom a number of years ago, Tom, quote,
yep.
Sell to the masses, eat with the classes.
Classes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sell to the classes, eat with the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Tillman Fertitta is a great example of that. If you go to his Post Oak Hotel in Houston, right, where there's a Mastro's in this little complex,
right,
and his own ripoff of Ladurie, and all of the cars that are there, I just and what is he owns? What's the sports team he owns? The Rockets, I think.
Anyway, I have no idea, but I mean he owns a ton
Tillman
of Rockets.
Tillman Fertitta sells to the masses en masse, and he does indeed eat with the classes. So
I got you. Well, yeah, you go to his website, you see there's a whole, I think there's an audio book or there's a deal about the whole thing. But anyway, the ribs were very, I mean, fall off the bone, very, very good. And I got another thing to tell Tom, which you'll appreciate. Last week, you got a great compliment from the lady that was married to Mr. Del Frisco.
Oh,
remember,
no kidding.
Del Frisco's steakhouse?
Yeah. I sure do. Now, she lived here.
Yeah. Yes, her name was Lena.
Right.
And the less say, and she the less...
Wait, Tom, I want to hear what he's going to say. What'd she say?
She just said, She was married to Mr. Del Frisco. I won't tell you the. I won't give you the unabridged story over the radio.
The end.
But anyway, she said that they had a restaurant, and this is before she divorced him, and I guess had her own restaurant, Lena's. But she said one day she asked her husband, why we got all this traffic in here? And of course, this was ages ago when there was one on the West Bank. And she said, did we do any advertising? He said, no. He said, but everyone's coming in talking about how Tom Fitzmaurice came in here and ate at Del Frisco's. And all of a sudden, they had more business than they knew what to do with.
Huh. Tom is the original influencer.
You sure can. Hey,
wait a minute. I want to hear where you ran into her, Tom. I mean, John.
I ran into her at the Quarter View restaurant while talking to Jim Barry and one of Jim's friends who was talking with her by the name of Bob Ragsdale. So I got introduced, and she was a very nice lady. And said some great stories about her and heard the whole history. And then she told me something. She said, yeah, you know, he moved to Dallas after we got divorced. I didn't get a penny of the million.
All right.
Wait, I want to hear it, Tom. Go ahead. What?
And I'm not going to go. And anyway, she said, then, according to her, he wound up selling Del Frisco's to Landry's. But if he
did,
you don't see it any. Okay, you don't see it on Landry's website at all.
All right, this is
Tom is paranoid that you're going to say something.
This isn't
that
the.
I'm not.
How old is she now? How old is she now, John?
She is not. I would
guess. John. John.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
This is not the show for this. Okay. What you're doing,
I have no idea what he's talking about. But
John,
thank
you.
Send me that in text.
Okay.
How old she is?
Okay.
It's the future.
You're being
not only
dismissed, John. You're being thrown out.
And we will be back.
We're not going anywhere, Tom.
I guess not.
A break.
Well, I'm just exercising this because it's not. All right. Let's see. Where were we?
Exactly what the show is about. But,
all right.
You know, what can you do, Doug? What can you do?
You guys do it.
No, we're not going to
do
it because he's gone now.
You want to do it? Do it.
He's gone now.
He'll be back.
What I wanted to know is Del Frisco wound up selling the restaurant. I didn't realize he sold it to Landry's. I don't think that's true, unless it's been a recent development, but maybe it is. I'll have to look up the Landry's website and see if Del Frisco's is on it. But Del Frisco is a major player nationally now in the exclusive steakhouse realm. Most recently, they turned up in one of my favorite malls ever out in Los Angeles, the Century City Mall that's just been redone to the tune of a couple of $1 billion. And the space that they have there is absolutely mind-blowing. It's kind of Vegas-y. And I know I told this story once before, but I walked in and I I said I wanted to look around. And on the way out, I told the waitress that we knew Del Frisco when he started in a little strip mall, a tiny little strip mall in this dumpy old place. And she looked at me like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. But it is just kind of mind-boggling to think that it could start on the West Bank in a tiny little place and become what it is now. The last time I ate there, the last time I ate there was in the one in Houston, which is in the Galleria there. But the one before that was that gigantic space near Times Square in New York City. They're soaring restaurants with a gigantic, cavernous, two-story atrium as part of them, and it's quite something. The story is quite something, although if you haven't heard it, folks, I don't think you're going to, because Tom is on the edge of his seat.
No, go ahead. Go
nervous.
Right ahead. Go.
coming out. I guess you'll have to look it up yourself. 260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat with us. We have just 10 minutes left, and we need to move on because Tom is very rattled about John Volpe's call. John, I hope you're not banned from the air from now on.
All right, it's the food show, and this is Tom Fitzmaurice, and you have to have some standards, and there you are. Let's see, we've got about 8 minutes left to go on the program. You know, we do this every day, Monday through Friday.
It's remarkable, isn't it, folks?
It really is, and we've been able over the years to do some things that have never been done anywhere else I've ever seen around the country. You ask them, where's your food program on the radio so we can find out what the food's like around here? You'll never find it. It's just, it doesn't exist. It happens here, and we're really happy about that, and I bet you are, too.
In the almanac today, in your words to eat by.
Yeah, help yourself.
Alistair Cook you have a quote by Alistair Cook, which I find kind of puzzling. It is, quote, Texas does not, like any other region, simply have indigenous dishes. It proclaims them. It congratulates you on your arrival at having escaped from the slop pails of the other 49 states. I disagree. I think Texas does indeed have indigenous dishes. Barbecue, for one. Tom?
Yes?
Have you snapped out of it?
No.
To comment on that? I think that Texas, the indigenous food of Texas, is probably Tex-Mex and barbecue, if my memory serves me correctly, and I've been there fairly recently. So the reason that Texas figures so prominently in the almanac today is that it is... It is the day that Texas broke away from Mexico, and it also coincidentally is Sam Houston's birthday. So that was in 1836, not Sam Houston's birthday, but breaking away from Mexico. And so if you are familiar with the almanac, Tom ties a lot of things together. So that's the reason that Texas figures prominently in the almanac today. But... barbecue is something that, while it is associated very strongly with Texas, there's a lot of places that have good barbecue. And in fact, we in New Orleans have gotten some really good barbecue in the last few years. Last week, I turned up at Central City Barbecue, and I have to say, that place is really, really good. When we stood in line in Austin at the famous Franklin Barbecue, it was a fun thing to do because it's one of those things. So we stood in line for a couple hours to get Franklin Barbecue, and it was good barbecue. But we have also great barbecue here. I felt like Central City Barbecue that we have here is at least as good as Franklin Barbecue. We also have Blue Oak Barbecue, which is another really good one. We have a lot of good barbecue here, but those two are my favorites. And I think that the menu at Central City is so interesting in its side dish specials that I really can't wait to go back. I was there just, like I said, the other day and got just some brisket. It's very expensive, though. It's really quite expensive. I think I got like a half pound of brisket chopped and an iced tea, and it was $15. So it's definitely not cheap, but they did have some little side things like brisket poppers and stuff like that you could eat a little bit more affordably, but it's good stuff. It's definitely good stuff. I think that's true of Blue Oak too. They have a lot of specials that that are sort of clever or imaginative, so they get a little creative with them. It's not just the standard slab of barbecue with the collards and the coleslaw or the mac and cheese. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2. We're not taking a break as we usually do when I say that, but I do want to encourage you to give us a call if you would like to chat. Tom, are you done with the show? Because you appear to be signed off for the remainder of the show. I'm just curious. Are you? I think he might be.
No, not at all.
I think you might be. Okay, wow, that was something, Tom. So we're going to probably do some more cooking this evening, and I think I might actually try to make the mayonnaise that I'm going to put the harissa into, because I would like to try to make mayonnaise out of, rather than canola oil, some olive oil, and I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know that anyone's ever done that. I mean, I'm sure they have, but I've not read about it anywhere to see how it turns out. But I'm not a fan of canola oil. I would much rather use olive oil. So I was thinking that I'm going to go ahead and jump into the exploration of making my own mayonnaise with olive oil and lemon juice and dry yellow mustard, and now the harissa that Mary Lee made last night, which, I don't know, might be in the freezer because she was a little bit terrified after she tried it at how spicy it was. And so I think it's going to be something she's going to use a little judiciously, and I told her to freeze a portion of it. So I'm going to try the harissa mayo and see how that works. There's a recipe in this book that we're going to talk about on Friday. The woman's name is Susan Spungen, and it's called Open Kitchen. And it's one of those things where it's one of those people who have a really glamorous life where, you know, she has the apartment in New York City and the place in East Hampton. So you can imagine that her open kitchen is probably a little nicer than yours. And so she has these recipes, and where there's several that are stacked up that I want to try. But one of them is it's fresh cut fries, but they're not fried. They are tossed in an olive oil. Or she recommends duck fat, which I didn't realize you could just purchase at the store, but you can. Mm-hmm. And so you get it and you toss these potatoes in it, and then you put them in the oven and you just really crisp them so they're almost unmistakable from actual fries that you dropped into a pile of duck fat. And so I was thinking that I would really like to try that fry recipe. Because they really look good in the book. Everything in the book looks really, really good. And take the recipe for the fries and then make the harissa mayo and just dip the fries in the harissa mayo. But I gotta try this harissa in some way, even if it's just to dip like raw vegetables in it or something. But we've always gotten high on doing this kind of stuff, and then we just put it in the refrigerator and we go out to eat anyway. But we're determined, Mary Lee and I at least, we're determined to not do that this time. We're actually going to eat the things that we're working on. And the harissa mayo is something you will hear a report on in the next couple of days, because I'm absolutely going to try it. Anyway, Tom is still in the building, but I think he's going to sign off now.
Yeah, maybe so. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that.
And Tom just will keep be, though. On doing. Tom, are you going to come back tomorrow, or are you still going to be traumatized by that?
You have me figured all wrong. Anyway,
have a great evening, everyone.
Had a good weekend, and we'll talk to you some more if all you had is a Monday to talk
it's
about.
It's high stress, folks. My immune system is damaged.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.